Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everyone. Great to have you with us. We've made it through another week. It's going to be a fun show coming up today. Looking forward to it very much. Coming up in a few moments, we'll have Roman Stubbs, who's the beat writer for Maryland football for the Washington Post. He'll join us in just a few minutes. Then Danny Gallen from the Baltimore Sun will join us in the second half hour. Obviously, another beat writer for the Maryland football program. Johnny Holiday, the play-by-play voice, the legendary voice of Maryland football and men's basketball, is going to join us in the 4 o'clock half hour. And in the final half hour of the show, Frank Bodani, York Daily Record, one of the truly outstanding beat writers for Penn State football. So we have a fun show coming up today, and it's all brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Did I mention beer? Oh, yeah. Stock up for the weekend. You need to. Water, soda, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the front register when you exit. And the pickle bar is second to none. So please, stop by Brewers Outlet tonight, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Stock up for the weekend. You got plenty of football going on this weekend. Steelers, Chiefs, Eagles taking on the Panthers. Sunday night football, college football tomorrow. You can sit back at the TV and watch Penn State and Maryland while listening to it here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And, of course, there's some high school games tonight as well, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes. But, again, a lot of fun. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You must stock up, and you must do it now. Kevin turned in his Ford Focus today to our great friends at Sunbury Motors. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And Shikalimi tonight, we'll have Loyal Sock. You'll hear that on News Radio 1070 WKOK beginning at 6:30 this evening with pregame coverage. Kevin Herr and the Chief Dave Ritchie on the air with their outstanding broadcast beginning at 7 o'clock this evening with the kickoff here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Mifflinburg and Milton tonight on 1380 WMLP and Sealands Grove tonight on Eagle 107 as they look to keep their undefeated season rolling. What a year they have had. Well, Maryland has had a tumultuous year so far. Roman Stubbs is the outstanding beat writer for the Washington Post. We're going to talk with him in just a few moments, get his impressions on where that program's going as they get ready for Penn State. We'll take a timeout. Roman Stubbs from the Washington Post next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Great to have you with us on this Friday. Brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Beer, plenty of it. Imports, domestics, microbrews, soft drinks, water, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And, of course, the pickle bar is second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. A little bit later, Johnny Holiday, play-by-play voice of Maryland. Danny Gallen, Baltimore Sun. Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. But now we bring in from the Washington Post, Roman Stubbs, beat writer who covers Maryland football. Roman, Penn State, Maryland's a crazy deal down there. Welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. How do you
assess the Maryland situation from the start of the season up to now? And did you see this coming with Randy Edsall?
Well, I would assess it as unstable. There's been a lot of issues, I think, both on and off the field for the program. And I didn't necessarily see it coming with Edsall. I knew, anybody who's been around College Park the last 4 or 5 years has known that, there's been pockets of the fan base that have always been against him, that have always called for, his ouster. And even after he signed this 3-year contract extension in July, the loss to Bowling Green, kind of snowballed with the loss to West Virginia, then the loss to Michigan, and then obviously against Ohio State. All of those were very ugly losses. And so that kind of, I think, gave those boosters, gave those fans more ammo, more traction to call for his ouster and to kind of paint this situation as extreme and unstable, and it really has been. So it's kind of been a wild time, a wild first half of the season, and we'll see what happens this weekend.
Roman, Kevin Plank certainly is one of those influential boosters, but it's not as if he doesn't have a lot of deals that he's also working on. In the end, how influential, in your opinion, is he in this?
Well, I think he's going to be a player in who they target or who they go after as their next coach. It's difficult to tell with Plank because he obviously stays close to the vest. And I don't think it was a situation where he was calling for Edsall's firing. I think he's always been supportive of Edsall. He's always been supportive of the program. But there's no doubt that he has a lot of influence around here, a lot of influence on the program, both spiritually and financially, obviously. So, he's got the $25 million donation going to the new football facility that they're going to be building. And I think he's going to be a player in who they kind of target for their next coach.
When you look at, you mentioned this weekend with Penn State. So after a bye week, Mike Locksley's the head coach. They don't have a linebacking coach because he also was fired along with Randy. Is this a journey into the unknown, the unexpected? Because from the outside looking in, it appears they have nothing to lose as a staff or as a group of players.
Yeah, I think there's a journey. It's going to be a journey, no doubt, these next 6 weeks. And I think even the staff will tell you that, they're just trying to make it work at this point. In the grand scheme of things, mid-season coaching changes at the college level are pretty rare. So I don't think a lot of these guys have dealt with this kind of situation before. Obviously, Locksley was let go in New Mexico in the middle of the 2011 season, so he's been on the other side of it. But, I think one thing he's been really hammering home is trying to loosen up the players, try to, use kind of his outgoing personality to find some type of way to pump energy into the team. And it's just been with little things, even playing music before meetings or doing different drills in practice that allow a little bit more competition, just kind of loosening the mood and kind of getting back to the basics for a lot of the kids. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of schemes and what kind of personnel decisions change over the next 6 weeks, but it's definitely a venture into the unknown for sure.
Let's look at the football team as it is right now. When you watch it, what parts, what elements are good?
Well, not a lot. I mean, I think they had a positive step at Ohio State. I think they finally found some stability offensively. You look at those three losses that they had earlier this season. The quarterback instability, the revolving door that they've had at that position, it's kind of underscored all of their problems. They just haven't found any consistency there. They've kind of vowed to be a team that wants to attack vertically, that wants to have a downfield passing threat. But they just couldn't find any consistency, or they couldn't limit turnovers. They couldn't limit penalties. So I think the good parts that came out of Ohio State was they kind of found kind of a little bit of more flair, I think, with Perry Hill's, a junior quarterback who he's a multidimensional guy. He's a tough kid. You know, they can run the zone read with him. They can open up the play action pass with him. He's not going to burn you downfield. He's going to at least challenge the defense to be wary of his running ability. And I think he gives them a little bit more option with the running game. And I think defensively they've been good through three quarters of three of the last three games. But they just haven't been able to finish. I mean, they had Michigan, you know, it was only 6-0 middle of the third quarter, and they kind of gave up a couple big plays, and it snowballed from there. So I think there's positives on both ends, but overall the body of work just hasn't been as solid as they've wanted.
What's the part of the football team that through this streak consistently you sit back and you're just waiting for it to let somebody down?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
Yeah, what part of this football team through this three-game losing streak where you're just almost like waiting to see if it's going to let them down again? Is there a certain segment of the team that consistently has been a problem?
Yeah, quarterback. I mean,
oh, that's it?
And I think that's, I mean, obviously you've had three players who have played games for them, long stretches of games. Hill started the first two. Rowe started the next three through 12 picks in four games. Garman just didn't show command of the offense. He's had a tough time learning that playbook. And so now they're back to Hill. They moved a fullback to the position this week. So there's still, I think, questions there. I think Hill's gives them, like I said, a little bit more versatility. But I think, you know, until we see maybe one or two or three games, a string of games where the performances are consistent, you know, I think that that's kind of been their Achilles heel, and it's kind of been, you know, the centerpiece in all of these losses.
Is all of this movement to the Big Ten, it can't be changed. It's a long-term thing. Mm-hmm. Is this too early to tell if it's good for Maryland, or are you getting an initial feeling that it is?
Well, I think there's obviously different parts to it. I think obviously the financial aspect, the exposure aspect of it, I think it's definitely a positive for the school, for the administration. But I think they're learning this second season, you know, just how good the competition is, just how much tradition, how good the recruiting is, just top to bottom, how difficult it is to play with some of these programs that have such, you know, longstanding histories in this conference. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be a process. You know, it might be even 5-10 years before we really even know how Maryland fits into this conference. And obviously they're not jumping into an easy division right away. I mean, it's arguably the best division in college football right now, or at least up there. So it's going to take some time. I think obviously they like all of the benefits that come with the move. But now it's trying to find a product that, you know, that can fit into this conference on the field.
It is a fan base that is used to Virginia, used to a basketball showdown with Duke, used to Florida State, Georgia Tech, Duke, mm-hmm. Wake Forest, and so forth. How are they reacting to all of this? And is the fact that the basketball team is absolutely outstanding actually a gauge that winning means more than who you're playing?
Yeah, it's obviously a really passionate fan base. And we obviously saw that through the struggles earlier this season. And you could even argue that it went back to last season when Maryland, you know, had this meltdown in the season finale against Rutgers. Right. And the comeback that was kind of engineered by Ralph Friedgen, the former coach here, and fans were booing in the stands and lighting up social media about Edsel and some of the issues that the program had. I think hopefully, you know, the fan base can find energy. They can find optimism in the coaching search. Obviously, they're going up against a pretty stacked field of schools that need coaches. And so that might make it more difficult, the search more difficult. But, yeah, I think, and like you said, I mean, I think there's optimism with basketball starting, but I think a lot of people care about the long-term, you know, future of Maryland football and are kind of interested to see, you know, where it's going to go here in the Big Ten.
Roman, thanks so much. Appreciate your time. I know it's valuable.
Yep, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Roman Stubbs from the Washington Post. We thank him for the time he gave us today. We know it's valuable. Danny Gallen, Baltimore Sun, next half hour. Then Johnny Holiday, the play-by-play voice of Maryland football and men's basketball, will join us at 4:06. And then coming up, we will also then have Frank Bonanni, York Daily Record, in the final half hour of the show. Bucknell homecoming game coming up tomorrow. At Christie, looking forward to that, looking to bounce back. So a big game when they take on Georgetown tomorrow on Eagle 107. Doug Birdsong and Kevin Herr will have the call of that game, and hopefully you can get out there for that game at Christie tomorrow. You'll be able to take in the Bucknell game and then get home in time and listen to our broadcast for a bit on News Radio 1070 WKOK, but watch Penn State and Maryland. Temple won last night. Temple was down 14-10 in the fourth quarter, scored two fourth quarter touchdowns, beat East Carolina in Greenville last night 24-14. They're 7-0. And now it's set up for Temple to take on Notre Dame. And that game is going to be the national ABC game next Saturday night on Halloween in Philadelphia. Needless to say, one of the biggest games Temple has ever played. But they will play that game. It's going to be the 8 o'clock game. They've already made the announcement. It's in. Coming up tomorrow night, the national game is Ohio State and Rutgers. Just to let you know how thin the schedule was. Also, UCLA won big last night. Beat Cal 40-24. They really dominated the game from start to finish. Led the game 23-10, I want to say, at halftime. And then won the game 40-24. Blue Jays and Royals tonight, Game 6, Kauffman Stadium, Kansas City. The Mets are resting right now, getting ready for their first World Series appearance since 2000. The Mets have had a great run this season. They have had a great postseason. Their pitching is all set up where they've got DeGrom, they've got Harvey, they've got Syndergaard. And Mets, I mean, they have it all set up the way they want it. And Daniel Murphy probably did not want to see the break because he's hit six home runs in six straight games, a postseason record. Now, if you're wondering what the major league record is, just for regular season, it's actually eight home runs in 8 days. Dale Long did it for the Pirates, I want to say, in 56, and Don Mattingly did it for the Yankees in 87. But Daniel Murphy probably did not want to see this break. He hit 14 home runs during the regular season. He's hit six in six games in the postseason. Amazing. So the Mets are waiting in the World Series for the winner of Kansas City. And the Jays Royals win tonight. They're in for the second straight year. The Jays are trying to force a seventh and deciding game in that series. Tomorrow, Alabama, Tennessee, third Saturday in October. And, of course, Penn State, Maryland tomorrow, 3:30 the kick. We're on with the Tailgate Show beginning at 2 o'clock tomorrow from Baltimore. Coming up, bottom of the hour, news, and then Danny Gallen for the Baltimore Sun on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other options.
auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We have made it to Friday, gang. In a few moments, Danny Gallen, Baltimore Sun. Our thanks to Roman Stubbs of the Washington Post, who joined us in the opening half hour. Still to come, Johnny Holiday, the play-by-play voice of Maryland football and men's basketball. He'll join us in the next half hour. And in the final half hour, Frank Bodani from the York Daily Record as we get you ready for Penn State football with the Nittany Lions taking on Maryland tomorrow at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. Today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Did I mention beer? Oh, are they stocked? Well laid out, easy to get around, plenty of help to get whatever cases you need to the car. Great staff there. Water, soda, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and out every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar is second to none. One-stop shopping. Go there tonight. Tell them we sent you. It's Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Very proud to be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And Kevin's been driving a Ford Focus this week. Had to turn it in today. Find out later tonight what else he's driving, what he'll be driving next week. He'll get that information to you later tonight. Shikellamy in action tonight. Undefeated Loyal Sox. Shikellamy at home tonight. 7 o'clock the kick. Kevin and the Chief. Dave Ritchie on the air beginning at 6:30 this evening. Sealands Grove puts his unbeaten record on the line tonight as well. On Eagle 107, 6 o'clock the airtime, 7 o'clock the kick there. On WMLP in Milton, it's going to be Milton and Montour and Mifflinburg tonight. You'll have that on 1380 WMLP with Steve Williams. But, of course, our game tonight is Shikellamy in action, taking on Loyal Sox. 7 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WKOK with a 6:30 airtime. Bucknell plays tomorrow. Homecoming game at Christie. They will take on Georgetown tomorrow. So a big game for Bucknell tomorrow. You can take in the Bucknell game at Christie. You're back in time to watch Penn State on TV. Maybe even listen to a little bit on the radio as well. With tomorrow's kickoff set for 3:30 at M&T Bank Stadium. We're on beginning at 2 o'clock tomorrow with the tailgate show. Looking forward to it very much. Well, let's get to the game. We've already talked to Roman Stubbs, the beat writer for the Washington Post. Now let's check in with Danny Gallen. He's the beat writer with the Baltimore Sun. Danny, welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show. You know, let's start with this. This has been obviously a tumultuous time. When was really the first hint that, you know, Randy signed that contract extension in the summer, which was very thin in terms of commitment, but when did you really get a sense that it wasn't the right fit for everybody all the way around?
I think what Athletic Director Kevin Anderson said was that after the second game of the season, when they lost Bowling Green 48-27, they were outscored 42-14 in the second half and just collapsed, looked listless. There was just really nothing going on. That's when Athletic Director Kevin Anderson said that he kind of started to think that this year really wasn't going to work out. And then, you know, from there was a little flash against South Florida, but then they just got beat handily by West Virginia, Michigan, Ohio State, and that really just put the nail in the coffin right there.
You're around the players a lot, Daniel, by covering the team. Did you get any sense that he had the player support, that he had lost the locker room, or was just too difficult to tell?
I couldn't really tell. You know, the guys were coming out, and they were saying the right thing. You know, no one really put any you know, no one really, I guess, kind of tipped their hand if they felt anything was going on internally. But I mean, I thought that they felt pretty. I couldn't tell anything, and I think mostly the thing was that they wanted to win, and it got to the point where I don't really think they cared if they were, you know, winning to try to save someone's job or winning to,
right,
you know, impress someone else. I think they just wanted to get a win.
We saw that, at least I noticed, that Shane Cockrell had been put as a fullback. And I originally put him on my chart as a fullback. And then I had to bump him up to being the co-number two quarterback. Does that indicate there was a philosophical difference between the offensive coordinator, who is now the interim head coach, and the former head coach?
I don't think so. During the summer, Cockrell actually approached Randy Edsall and asked to get moved to fullback because he just wasn't going to get on the field at quarterback for whatever reason. I just came on the job in August, so I wasn't around in the spring, and apparently he had a pretty rough spring. So I think it was just a way for him to kind of get back, for him to get on the field and contribute. And I think with him moving to second string today, we talked to Mike Loxley earlier about it, and you know, a lot of it just has to do with the skill set. Shane's skill set is pretty similar to Perry Hill's, and you know, if they try to run Perry Hill's 25 times against the rest of the Big Ten defenses on the schedule, I think there's a good chance you could get a little banged up.
Right.
So I think moving Cockrell is just, you know, it's a little bit of insurance right now.
And it also keeps the offense consistent if he were to come in as the quarterback.
Exactly. Right. And if this offense needs anything, it is consistency.
Right. What has broken down on the field? When you've watched them, what have been the weaknesses? What have been the matchups that have just week in and week out not helped them?
I think that there's still a little bit of an adjustment to the line play. In the off season, they talked a lot about a quote unquote lineman league, and I think the offensive line put on and just a ton of weight in the off season, and I'm pretty sure that their average weight is the second highest in the Big Ten behind Wisconsin now. And you know, so they've bulked up, and I think that in some of the games that you've seen how that's helped, but you know, when you're going up against guys like Joey Bosa, Adolphus Washington, some of the guys on Michigan defensive line, and you know, this week with Carl Nassib and what Penn State has, you know, it's really created a lot of problems for them.
Why play the game in Baltimore instead of playing the game on campus?
I'm pretty sure that, if I remember right, I think that they signed on to play a game in Baltimore this year, I think back in 2010 or 2011, when they were still in the ACC. I believe that this game would have been against Virginia Tech,
okay,
had Maryland not switched conferences. But it's, you know, it's an opportunity to get out and be seen. Randy Edsall would, you know, in the spring, they'd have practices in Western Maryland, in Southern Maryland, in Baltimore, you know, just to kind of get out and be able to play in front of a different crowd and, you know, to kind of extend that reach, especially with kind of the Baltimore or the Maryland-Penn State recruiting battles that happen.
We're with Daniel Gallen, the Maryland football reporter for the Baltimore Sun. I know when I went down to College Park to do basketball back in February, obviously the Comcast Center is a major league facility, and Mark Turgeon has himself right now a major league basketball program. How do they feel about their facilities football-wise entering into the Big Ten?
Well, there's been a big push to, for an indoor facility, and they currently have plans for a $155 million renovation of the old Cole Field House.
Right.
And they're going to turn that into an indoor facility. There's some pretty interesting quotes from the university president last week, and he kind of talked about how for the stadium doesn't have to be the most spectacular and most pristine facility because it only gets used 5 to 7 times a year for football, and that the more important thing is having, you know, a state-of-the-art indoor facility because that's where the players are going to spend the majority of their time.
In fact, I think part of that is a tunnel that goes from Cole to the football stadium. I believe that's part of the expense of this, too. They're going to do that.
It's going to be quite the project, and
yeah.
I'm actually sitting in Bird Stadium right now and can okay. see Cole, and it's gonna change the landscape of this campus.
Yeah, I had when I went to do basketball in February, I had to go inside Cole Fieldhouse. And the reason I felt I had to go in there is because of all the history that was in there, in particular the UCLA-Texas Western game. So I thought, you know, go in here before they change it. So that's why I went in. I had to see a slice of history.
Oh, yeah, and it's great that they're keeping it. I'm an alum, so it's something that you always see on campus, and you know it's significant. And, you know, it's pretty neat that they're going to be able to keep it, and be able to use it.
As an alum, I know you have to come at this as a reporter, but now for the moment, if it's possible, to take the reporter out and bring the Daniel Gallen, the alum, in. What were your thoughts as an alum on leaving the ACC and making this move into the Big Ten?
I remember that day really well. It was during my junior year, and I was working for the school paper, and I covered the press conference, and I was covering the men's soccer team at the time, and ACC men's soccer is pretty top-notch, and so I was viewing it through that lens, and I was kind of like, wow, you know, this move doesn't really make any sense. But the one thing for me is just kind of someone that was around and that, you know, has grown up in Maryland, has seen everything, so that I just kind of accepted it, you know, later that night, because it wasn't one of those things that, you know, you could go back on, or, you know, a couple right. days later, you could be like, oh, you know, just kidding. We're gonna stick in the ACC. It was, you know, it's one of those things where it makes your life easier if you just kind of, you know, accept how it is, as opposed to just kind of moaning the fact that it's changed.
Right now, from the reporter's point of view, has this started on the road to working, or is it still an emotional process for Maryland fans?
I mean, I think that it's on the road to working. You know, there's the basketball team, I think, having such a good year last year, you know, played a big role in it. And, you know, I think the one thing that, you know, people are talking about, oh, there's, you know, there's not Duke, there's not North Carolina, you know, those sorts of rivalries. And, you know, over time, that stuff will come back, you know, because there's, you know, there's some pretty strong personalities in the Big Ten that can kind of lead themselves to, you know, kind of having the similarly kind of heated matchups.
Has it been interesting for fans, even though they haven't brought with them wins, but to see the Ohio States and the Michigans on there, and, of course, last year getting things started again with Penn State, has that at least helped soothe some of this?
Oh, definitely. I think that that's kind of a big selling point, you know, because you're not driving down to, you know, Wallace Wade Stadium at Duke, or going down to NC State. You know, you get to go to the Big House, you get to go to Beaver Stadium, you get to go to the Horseshoe, which are, you know, three of the most notable venues in all of college football. So I think it's alluring, you know, whether or not in another 4 years, if that kind of like shine and polish wears off, we don't, you know, and it's, you know, not as big of a draw, you know, who knows, but for right now, it's something new, and, you know, new things are going to be exciting.
How much does Kevin Plank of Under Armour have an influence over what's going on this campus?
I mean, I think that his hand is in some of it. You know, he keeps a very low profile.
Okay.
You know, I know that there's, you know, the easy comparison to make with him is Phil Knight at Oregon, but I think that they're two kind of very different personalities. And I mean, Kevin Plank has a lot of stuff going on. You know, he does his horse racing. He's doing a bunch of development in Baltimore right now and buying up a bunch of land for Under Armour's campus and stuff. And so, you know, I think that kind of, you know, I think sometimes people might kind of forget that this guy has a lot of stuff going on. I don't really think that he is, you know, 24/7 sitting there thinking about Maryland football and what can make it better. But you know, I think that, you know, he is a booster, a pretty, you know, one of the most prominent boosters for this program. And you know, I think he does help out a lot.
Maryland had been a 3-4, and then this year it transitioned to a 4-3. What have you seen in that transition and watching them?
It's been a pretty mixed bag so far, I think. I mean, again, you know, Bowling Green picked apart the secondary, and then West Virginia beat them from the jump, and Michigan wore them down. But I think that there are some promising pieces in that defense. Defensive end Yannick Ngakoue, I think, has a I forget if he has a sack in every game or not, but he did up to one point this season, and he's just been a terror for opposing offensive lines. And then Quentin Jefferson at defensive tackle has been really, really solid. And then in the linebacking core, the middle linebacker, Jermaine Carter Jr., is one of the leaders in tackles. And you know, he's a redshirt sophomore. He was a three-star recruit coming out of high school and went to the same school as three other guys that signed with Maryland in his class. And I think he was the lowest-rated one. But he's really, really come on strong and really broken out as a redshirt sophomore this year.
Give me an idea what it's like watching Will Likely return punts.
Oh man, you just never know what's going to happen. It's pretty fun. It doesn't really feel like he's gotten a chance recently to kind of really break one.
I wonder why.
he started the season off with such a standard. It was pretty hard for him to live up to it. But, you know, in a game like this that's coming up against Penn State, especially a Penn State team that struggled a little bit with its punting, you know, I don't really expect there to be too many points. So if he breaks off a big punt return or kick return or something along those lines, I think that it could be one of the deciding factors.
He is not the biggest in stature, but he is one tough guy in that corner. Does he play a bit with a chip on his shoulder?
I think so. When you're someone that is playing major college football and you're 5'7", I feel like that people just kind of never gave him a shot. And you see it. Like, I think that, he always plays hard. He's always, trying to make that play. And opposing offenses, really respect it. I think by my very rough count, when Maryland played Bowling Green and Bowling Green threw the ball 55 times, they only threw it Will Likely about 6 or 7 times.
Right.
And that was with him being matched up with a wide receiver who was 6'3". So even with that, they still just kind of gave him the respect. He just knows that he is a 5'7" cornerback, and he is going to use all of his skills to play like the best 5'7" quarterback.
Daniel, what do you think about Saturday?
I'm not really sure what to expect. I was looking through Penn State's schedule yesterday, and I was like, okay, so they're 5-2. It's not bad, but it's been, I think I had someone describe it to me as a hollow 5-2, based on who they've played. So I think that it's just going to be a defensive battle. I think that a play on special teams or maybe a breakdown on defense is kind of going to be what is the difference. And, I think it might come down to the field goal kickers like it did last year.
Now, Brad Craddock's one of the best. So he's one of the best. Daniel, thank you so much. I appreciate the time. Look forward to meeting you Saturday down at the at M&T Bank Stadium.
I really appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Danny Gallen, Baltimore Sun, does a great job covering the team. We appreciate his insight. And also Roman Stubbs from the Washington Post, who joined us in the opening half hour. Coming up in the next half hour, Johnny Holiday, my good friend and the legendary voice of Maryland football and men's basketball. He has a 180 deal going on right now. Maryland football at the moment has been struggling. Let's see how tomorrow plays out. And Maryland basketball is right now back where they were in terms of national perception 13 years ago when Gary Williams was running the show. Mark Turgeon has built himself an outstanding program in a short period of time. They were able to weed out some players a year ago, got some big play from Mello Trimble, who's the preseason Big Ten Player of the Year. Jake Lehman's back. As Suleiman transferred from Duke to Maryland, and I mentioned Jake Lehman already, they also have an outstanding recruiting class. And Carter, the transfer from Georgia Tech, and they're really a team that on paper is loaded basketball-wise. And the Comcast Center rocks. What a great facility. I know Cole Fieldhouse was awesome and incredible in its time. Comcast Center is terrific. And the Cole Center, they're now, Cole Fieldhouse is being transferred over to being an indoor practice facility for Maryland football. We're going to talk with Johnny about that in the next half hour. And then Frank Bodani, York Daily Record, is going to join us in the final half hour of the show today. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports, Domestics, Microbrews, best selection anyone. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. News at the top of the hour, then Johnny Holiday coming up next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.